morning. Welcome to Liminal Church. I may be a little frazzled this morning. My daughter got married last week, and we've been babysitting three children all weekend. And so I would do much better sitting out there and listening to someone else lead us in a contemplative time this morning. But here we are. So we've been looking at shalom. And this particular month's emphasis has been shalom with respect to our relationship with one another. And somehow, sometimes, that may be the most difficult of the four quadrants, I think. So it felt right to take a little bit of extra time in our contemplative service to kind of mine our relationships and look at them and see if we can let God touch them and come to a place of shalom. It doesn't take much to see how broken this world is in terms of relationship with one another, does it? On a global scale, there are, as we sit here this morning, nations that are at war with one another. Within our own country, there's factions and political parties that are entrenched in conflict. There's injustice. Countless people are excluded, shoved aside, ignored, mocked, ridiculed, denied even the basic rights that others take for granted. Some are looked upon as less than, and even actively persecuted. Within the church, church being the big C church, and sadly, even in this one, there are relationships that have fractured and wounds that have been inflicted. And within our own families, it's the same sad story. A few weeks ago, I attended a memorial service of a woman who was not only my friend and not only my mentor, spiritually and otherwise, but one who I consider a modern-day saint. She and her husband had two daughters, and between those two daughters, there were 15 grandchildren and 29 great-grandchildren. For most of the almost 40 years that we knew these families, they were extremely close, doing everything together, exemplifying what a loving and tight-knit family would look like. But sadly, several years ago, something happened, and the family shattered. Some things were repaired and forgiven, but some were not at the time that my friend passed away. So at the memorial service, one of the families was present and participated, but the other was not, and it left a gaping hole, illustrating the tragedy of what unforgiveness can do. Sometimes brokenness in this world and in our lives is insurmountable, and like Humpty Dumpty, even with all the king's horses and all the king's men, there's no way to put it back together again. And yet, we have hope, or so the Bible tells us. Sometime in the 8th century BCE, Assyria was expanding westward from its origins in modern-day northern Iraq towards the Mediterranean, destroying first Aram and then the kingdom of Israel. Amidst the terror and panic, a prophet named Isaiah spoke to the trembling Israelites, a message containing both good news and bad. The bad was that they'd been unfaithful to the Lord their God, and their actions were about to reap the natural consequences. But God did not want them to despair, rather, to focus on the hope that one day things would be put right. Listen to what Isaiah told them. It shall come to pass in the later days that the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it, and many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide the disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Note the repetition of the word shall. This is an imperative, meaning that it's used to express what is inevitable or what surely will happen in the future. In other words, we can count on it. Many years ago, the last time I saw my mother before she passed away, I told her, Mama, soon you will see Jesus face to face. And her response, because she was even more of a grammar nerd than I was, even in her last days, was to say, "Shall I?" Because she heard me say "will," and she wanted more assurance than that. In her words, her question said in no uncertain terms, "Can I count on that? Will I really see him face to face? Is it a sure thing?" To which I responded, "Mama, I'll stake my life on it." And her response is, "Then so shall I." Shall means we can count on it. So it shall come to pass in days to come that we will have peace with one another, within our church, within our country, and amongst the nations. But until that day comes, and until it shall come to pass, what do we do? What can we do? And how can we navigate this life in the hope that we have been offered? There is a song written by Jill Jackson Miller and Cy Miller in 1955. And yes, I was alive then. It was initially written for and sung by the International Children's Choir, but later it was made more famous by Vince Gill. And I will note that it was written in 1955, and so I switched out a few of the phrases to make them more inclusive, and likely, honestly, more in line with what was intended. The lyrics go like this. "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as our Father, all in unity, let us walk with each other in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow, to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." There's not much most of us can do to reshape global events and mend global tragedies. But we can do a lot within our own circles of influence, and we can do a lot within our own lives. We can let it begin, as the song lyrics say, with me and with you. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, to take an inward deep dive into where we are in terms of a life of shalom in our daily lives, in terms of our own day-to-day interactions and relationships. And I will warn you that I'm going to ask us to explore relationships a little bit today. And I know that some of us have small conflicts and some of us have huge conflicts. And I don't want to minimize that. And when we are looking at these things, perhaps you want to start with a smaller one. And then use the same tools to explore later and more deeply some of the larger ones. I don't want to say or intimate in any way that this morning is going to heal all the wounds that you may have. But maybe it will give you some tools to begin to explore or to begin to consider exploring. So to begin with, I'd like to take just a few moments to meditate on a few verses in Colossians. And using Lectio Divina as a means to let the verse speak into our hearts. As I read the verse to you, the first step is to see what words or phrases may jump out or stand out to you, or where your focus is attention or is focused. Perhaps you were drawn to the words or feeling or phrases, or maybe you feel them drawing you. Maybe it's something that you have a question about. Or perhaps it's something that rubs you the wrong way, or you get that feeling inside and go, "Oh yeah, right." That might be something to explore. Maybe it's something you resist. Maybe it's something that you think, "Well, yeah, that's probably true, but not for me." Make a note, either mentally or on paper, of the word or phrase, and we'll look at it in a few minutes. So now I'll read it through. Colossians 3:12-15. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I'm going to read it through again and see what phrase or words jump out to you. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We're going to take a few moments of silence. Take the word or phrase that jumped out to you and consider your reaction. Sit with them a few moments and consider these questions. What was your immediate reaction to the word or phrase? What might have given rise to that reaction? Are there memories or situations that come to mind? Name the feelings that arose in you. And we'll take just a few minutes. Thank you. invite you now to hold whatever surfaces to you. Acknowledge it and honor it. It's a sacred expression of what's truly going on inside. But let's set it aside for a moment, perhaps on an imaginary shelf, and you can pick it up later if you wish. Shalom, a flourishing and abundant relationship with nature, with God, with one another, and with oneself. Think of someone with whom you have a flourishing and abundant relationship. What are the characteristics of your relationship? What do you value about that person? How do the two of you handle differences of opinion? Let's take a few moments just to identify that and to think about it. Helpful to you. Sometimes a relationship that is safe, where you feel valued and where you value the other person, is strong enough that it can take differences of opinion and that they can actually enrich you rather than have it diminish the relationship. But then there's the other relationships, aren't there? So now think of someone with whom you have a strained relationship. And again, for this exercise, if there's someone in your life who has wounded you grievously, this may not be the time and place to process it. There may be other more beneficial places to do that. unless you want. But I want to give you the freedom to look at a strained relationship light, if you were. So think of someone where the relationship is strained. What did you value about the relationship before it became broken? What feelings arise in you as you consider this relationship now? What might forgiveness look like in the context of this relationship? Spiritual director, and I'm seeing someone in direction right now who was betrayed rather badly. And she's been dealing with this betrayal for probably 4 or 5 years now. And I asked her a question, what would peace look like for you? And she thought for a while, and then she said, I'm not ready for peace yet because I'm not done being angry. Well, that's fine. You take all the time you need, because if you rush through it, there's a little bit of poison will last inside, and you don't want that. But on the other hand, there are relationships where we take sort of a perverse joy of rehashing and going over the hurt and massaging it and reliving it. And I'm not sure that's helpful either. Some relationships can be mended, and some, sadly, cannot be. They're irrevocably broken, at least for the foreseeable future. It takes some discernment to decide. But I think it's still possible to live in peace with one another, even if not in close relationship. I think it's still possible to inhabit the same part of the earth as the other person without the poison leaking out into it. So I'd like to consider, for your part, what do you need to find peace within this broken relationship? What are your needs? What would make you feel safe? And what might you do to begin to release the hurt, the anger, betrayal, or even the person themselves? And again, I stress the word begin. This may not be an overnight, and probably isn't an overnight proposition for you. Let's consider those things for a little bit. Thank you. And it may take some time, and there may be many layers of forgiveness involved, because hurt is a gift that keeps on giving. I prepared a handout, and I think some of you picked it up, but if not, it's at the connection counter. A bunch of quotations about forgiveness. Now, these quotations won't fix anything. I'll just let you know that. But maybe you'll find in them a nugget of wisdom that will help you give voice to your feelings. Maybe you'll argue with them. That's fine too. If you do choose to pick up a copy, I invite you to note some of the names of those who I've quoted. Some are familiar to you, I'm sure, and some are not. For the most part, these are not Hallmark quotations, but rather many come from people who've experienced things that most of us could not even imagine. Holocaust survivors, those imprisoned for decades because they dared to speak out against injustice, those who laid aside pleasant lives to serve the least among us, many times at significant cost to themselves. Some whose own broken relationships caused deep pain, and some who died for their efforts to bring restoration and reconciliation. Well, let's take a few deep breaths. Recenter ourselves from what may have been a difficult exercise for you, and if it is, part of me apologizes, but part of me does not, because these things need to be looked at and not glossed over, I think. Thankfully, we probably all have some relationships that are immensely meaningful and fulfilling, right? And I'd like to focus on those for another few minutes. Consider your current relationships. Which of those relationships bring life and joy? What can you do to nourish those relationships? And maybe consider sometime this week, let that person know that you love them, that you appreciate them, and that you value them in your lives. I hope someone came to your mind immediately. I hope many people did. I know it did for me because I'm looking at some of you. Broken relationships are so sad. And I think that they leave a hole in our lives. I'm thinking of some relationships that I'm aware of where they just sort of fade away and you don't really know why, and then it's awkward to pick them back up again. Try. I think you'll find that there's open arms in most places. Well, this morning, as is our habit, we're going to be taking communion together. I picked a picture that really spoke to me. There it is. A picture made up of broken pieces. And isn't that what communion is? As we take the bread and the cup, oh, I should invite the ushers up, shouldn't I? As we take the bread and the cup, let's remember that we all come to the table as broken pieces. But when touched with the unity of Christ, we become a beautiful mosaic, all because of the love and the grace and the kindness that Jesus Christ poured out for us. There are no band-aids holding the pieces together, but rather the pieces are welded together by the refining fire of redemption. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is too broken to take part in the picture. Jesus was also broken for us, but rather than ending, it was a beginning. Let's remember that it was for the joy set before him that he did so. That joy is ours as well, being confident of the promise that waits for us, and that his act on the cross made possible an abundant and flourishing life of shalom, of peace, harmony, and above all, love, with God, with nature, with one another, with ourselves. Instead of the traditional words of institution, I would like to read the following, which comes from 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 17, and 1 Peter 3, 8, as we come forward to communion. And as we normally do, I'd like to invite you to come up the two center aisles and then go back down the side aisles so we don't have a traffic jam. Okay, let's listen to the words. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we, who are many, are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Therefore, let's be like this, united in mind, loving towards one another, abounding in grace and kindness. Come forward to the table when you're ready. Thank you. One of my favorite things about church is watching people take communion. It's such a sweet, winsome, holy act. And today I had a special gift because one of you is wearing a fantastic t-shirt. On the back of it, it says, "Dear person behind me, the world is a better place because you're in it." Let's extend that to dear person in front of me, dear person to the right of me, dear person to the left of me, as well as dear person behind me. It's the best t-shirt ever. Well, that does it for this morning. So finally, may each of you rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace be with you. Yes. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Service is over, but if you need to linger for a while and just consider the things that we talked about this morning or something else entirely, this place is yours as long as you need it. Go in peace.